Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So, in the court ruling this week that declared stop and frisk racially biased, the judge cited an exchange between Police Commissioner Ray Kelly and State Senator Eric Adams of Brooklyn, a former police officer. Adams had testified that Kelly told him this about black and Latino young men, that Kelly, quote, wanted to instill fear in them every time they leave their homes that they could be stopped by the police, unquote. Kelly, we should say, denied ever saying that, but Judge Shira Shendlin cited it in her decision as evidence that Kelly's policy was violating the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, the Equal Protection Clause. State Senator Eric Adams joins us now to talk about that exchange and more. He is also your very likely next Brooklyn Borough President, in case you didn't know, running basically unopposed in the Democratic primary. Senator Adams, I always appreciate you coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you. I just checked off an item on my bucket list. I get to meet you. You know, I've talked to you over the phone, but now I'm in the studio.
Times. That's right.
Now I'm in the studio.
So, ditto. And can you give our listeners your version of that exchange with Commissioner Kelly? When did he say it, and what was the context?
Well, actually, we were at a meeting with Governor Patterson, Assemblyman Jeffries, Senator Golden, Commissioner Kelly, and he was basically giving his explanation on why, you know, stop and frisk should be really concentrated the use in certain communities. And that was his explanation. And if you really listen carefully, two things. One, the mayor has been saying this also. The mayor said we use it to turn up the heat on the street. That's not what the Constitution allows. And so this is really
supposed to be used when there's an individual who may be a suspect in a crime.
Right. Either the person has committed a crime, about to commit a crime, or you believe they committed a crime in the past. And it's a great tool. And the real irony here is that we did not have to violate constitutional rights to bring down crime and to use this great tool.
The way the quote sounds, Kelly sounds like he's saying he wants all young black and Latino men to anticipate being stopped on the basis of their race every time they leave their homes. But that wouldn't be consistent with anything Kelly has said publicly, I don't think, in all his years as commissioner under Mayor Bloomberg and before that under Mayor Dinkins. If anything, he's been considered a racial healer after the contentious Giuliani years and some of his police commissioners. So if your version of that exchange is true, what do you think this is about with Ray Kelly?
Well, first of all, coming off of Giuliani, anyone seems to be a healer. He was so divisive. And Commissioner Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg has done an excellent job of having a great conversation about healing. But don't watch what I say. Observe what I do. And when you look at the fact that we were holding a database of innocent people who did nothing wrong at all, when you look at the fact that when you search white, you come up with contraband more than when you search blacks, but yet the procedure was concentrated in communities of color. When you look at the actions of the police department, then you can't merely go by this healing conversation. You have to look at the divisive actions.
You've seen this from both sides. You've been a police officer, and you founded the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care. Give us your police officer's take on this. What is actually the least that triggers a stop, if I can assume it's not just random profiling, like, oh, there goes a 20-year-old black guy, I think I'll stop and frisk him, when it's done right?
Well, first of all, people often laugh at how conservative I am about crime. I believe people who commit predatory crime should go to jail. I cleaned up my block when I moved on that block, and there are criminals out there. But this
That's not liberal or conservative, though, is it? That's universal, isn't it? Somebody who commits a predatory crime should go to jail. Does anybody disagree with that?
Yeah, well, believe it or not, there are those who believe let's just hug our criminals and, you know, maybe they won't do another crime. I don't subscribe to that philosophy. I believe put handcuffs on criminals that harm people. This tool of stop and frisk is a great tool. When you move it out of a quota type implementing of the process to allowing the police officers on the street that they understand their beat, they understand the person who appears to be doing something criminal in nature, and they know how to implement the procedure. We're no longer allowing them to do that. We're saying you need to come in with a predetermined number of stop and frisk, and that's what's hurting the process.
But what do you mean appears to have done something criminal in nature? Because, I mean, it's one thing if you see a guy running away from the convenience store that was just robbed. It's a whole other thing if you're just, you know, randomly stopping people, which allegedly is what this police department is doing. But there's some gray area in the middle there, right?
Yes.
Where you're still stopping enough people who aren't obviously in the act or just have committed a crime that's intended to get guns off the street.
Right. I have a beat. I'm assigned to a beat or sector. This is a predetermined geographical area that police officers are responsible for patrolling. I notice a person that every day I'm on my beat, he appears to be standing in a known drug location, acting in a suspicious manner based on my police training that says it's questionable. I'm approaching this person. Who are you?
How suspicious do you have to look?
It really is.
Furtive movement, no. As we hear from the current NYPD, is that enough?
No. It's more than that. You stand in that drug-prone location. I observed you for a while. You appear to be interacting with several different people. You appear to be acting in a manner that a normal citizen raises a curiosity based on your observation and based on my police training. That's enough for me to approach you and have a conversation with you to find out what are you up to. Or late at night, I find someone that's hidden in an alleyway somewhere. I approach him. I ask him, what are you doing here? Because it's late at night, I could go further and say, it seems like he has a bulge on the side. It could be a cell phone. It could be a gun. I can touch that area to determine if it is a weapon.
Eric Adams, state senator from Brooklyn, founder of 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement, likely the next Brooklyn borough president. In the judge's ruling, she ordered police officers in the highest stop and frisk precinct in each borough to begin wearing little cameras to record their interactions with the public. Do you support that idea?
Great idea. The reason I support it the most is because it exonerates those good officers. And when you look across the country, over 80% of officers who have cameras on their vehicles or who wear body cameras, when allegations are made against them, it exonerates them. It shows that the officers followed the rule and he did the right thing. This police department has been reluctant on embracing technology on observing police behaviors. We have cameras all over the city. Why wouldn't we put them on our police officers on our vehicles? We need to move forward.
And I wonder what it would do to stop and frisk. Here's a clip from last night's debate for New York City Public Advocate that I was a questioner in which candidate Sadiq Y, an advisor to the NYPD, takes credit for this lapel pin camera idea, and he says what he thinks it would do to stop and frisk.
I'm the only one that put on the table specifically this question of stop, question and frisk, why people are holding press conferences. I said it's easy. Public safety is the number one priority. That's why I introduced the idea of my cameras on police officers. Where police officers on their shields, I guarantee you that stop and frisk will go down the drain.
So that was a mashup of two of his answers with New York One's Courtney Gross. And that was his prediction. Stop and frisk in New York would go down the drain because of these cameras. What do you think?
I think that you have a substantial impact in that process. And he introduced it to the public advocate race. If you go back 3 years, I introduced the concept of cameras not only on police officers but also on guns. I showed that there is technology out there that allows police officers, without impeding their use of a firearm or impeding their use of their police assignment, to have cameras. We need to embrace technology. We have a ring of steel in Lower Manhattan. Let's put a ring of protection around the police and the public by having cameras.
Are you concerned at all about the police having a video record of so many innocent people who they stop and frisk, and innocent bystanders, for that matter, who might get caught on tape?
No, you expunge that information. You don't hold it. Just as we, Assemblyman now, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries and I, introduced legislation to stop the holding of innocent data in a database, and the police department just recently came out and agreed with the settlement with the NYCLU that they would no longer hold innocent information. And so you will continue that concept. And let me get this thought also across, Brian, which is important, because many people say, if you didn't do anything wrong, why do you care you're being stopped? I was flying out of the country the other day, and there was a long line of people on the list before you go through the metal detector. Imagine being on that line and watching the agents say, white people, walk through, blacks, take off your shoes. White people, walk through, blacks, take off your shoes. Even if you like the policy of everyone going through the metal detector, you're going to have a problem with being discriminated. So blacks don't dislike stop and frisk. They dislike the fact that they're the only ones being stopped and frisked. We can't find bad guns coming into our community because no one is searching a person in a three-piece suit and a suitcase full of guns.
But in your stop and frisk scenario, wouldn't it still wind up overwhelmingly black and Latino young men who are being stopped? Because that's who's having these, on-the-corner drug sale encounters that you were describing, and who tends to possess the illegal guns and things like that?
No, to the contrary. When you start looking at behaviors and not quotas, so if you're in the Upper West Side and you notice a group of young people hanging out in a park and you smell marijuana, you should be stopping them and searching them as well. If you notice that you have a high drug prone location, more whites use marijuana in the city than blacks. So why aren't we finding...
But they get it delivered to their homes.
Exactly. So if you find, and that's what you call good police investigatory skills. If you find a high use of drugs, cocaine, marijuana, crack in a particular area, it shouldn't matter the ethnicity.
Do you like John Liu's proposal to legalize up to an ounce of marijuana for recreational use for adults?
Without a doubt. And I think medical is long overdue that we should have medical marijuana usage. I think John Liu is on target with that. You should legalize medical marijuana for recreational use for adults.
And listeners will be talking more about that and playing a clip of John Liu and a clip of a guest from earlier in the week on why this may not be popular in the Latino community, and take your calls on that later in the show. But with a few minutes left with Eric Adams, meanwhile, by all accounts, you'll be the next Brooklyn Borough President with no real opposition on the ballot to your election. But borough presidents don't have much power, don't have many resources. How do you plan to use the office similarly to or different from the outgoing president, Marty Markovich?
Well, the race is far from over. I have a conservative candidate on the ballot. You know, I do,
for November, you mean?
For
conservative
November,
party?
Yes. I do no premature celebrations. We have to still crisscross the borough. My goal is, in the last few years, we had a great borough president. For 12 years, Marty has done a great job. I want to move from not only investing in building and structures, I want to invest in people. I want to change the quality of life of Brooklynites. I want to look at financial literacy and teach people how to manage their money better so they can save for college, buy a home. I want to look at healthy food, putting rooftop gardens on top of our school buildings so children can see how to grow fresh fruits and vegetables. A safe place for our seniors. We can't become so hip and cool that our seniors don't believe that the borough is still affordable. And I want to look at our health care issue that we are facing in Brooklyn. We're about to lose two major hospitals if the governor continues to move in the direction. And we have to ensure that we have quality health care. And then public safety. Public safety is crucial. Crime has gone down over the city, yet there are few communities where crime is still leading the way in the borough of Brooklyn, and those are my goals.
What's the Marty Markovich legacy for you after 12 years? I think some people see him as sort of a caricature, you know, like an old Brooklyn cheerleader, but with some regressive tendencies like dismissing bike lanes and things like that. But on the other hand, Brooklyn has become the place to be practically in America over his tenure. What do you say about Marty Markowitz's record?
Well, I think every once in a while a person comes into a particular occupation or profession and redefines it. Marty has done that. He has been a great borough president. There will never be another Marty. I cannot walk in his shoes. That's why I'm bringing a new pair, so I can walk in Eric Adams' shoes. And I think that what he has done has given me a great foundation to build upon. He had the vision. Many people thought Brooklyn was a place where you just go if you want to be mugged or mistreated. Yet now we see it's one of the hottest locations on the globe. They sell Brooklyn Lager in Paris. So I got to take the popularity of the brand and turn it into prosperity for every neighborhood. And we are more than just the Barclays Center. We are 18 different community boards, 51 different communities of various background and diversity, and I want us to celebrate that diversity.
The new Brooklyn pair of shoes. Does that mean you're never going to say, forget about it?
Even in new shoes, you have to make sure you walk the same way of the old pair. Forget about it.
Are you endorsing in the mayor's race? We have 10 seconds left.
I think Bill Thompson would make a great mayor. I have not done an official endorsement. I like his platform. I'm looking forward to sitting down and finalizing and moving ahead. I think it's going to be a great race, and we're looking forward to it.
State Senator Eric Adams, we've talked about the way he was a factor in the stop and frisk constitutional trial. He's likely to be the next Brooklyn Borough president. He was a founder of 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care, and we'll keep talking. Thanks for coming in. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.